Welcome. The topic today is policy strategies to prevent unintended pregnancy. Our guest is Adam Thomas. He's a professor at Georgetown University and the former research director for the Brookings Institution Center on Children and Families. His recent article in the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management, as well as a Brookings report, focus on three evidence-based strategies to prevent unintended pregnancy and the results from fiscal impact simulations of those strategies. Adam is a friend and former classmate of mine, so it's especially an honor to have him on the blog. Adam Thomas, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Andy.
You note in your article that roughly half of all pregnancies in the U.S. are unintended. Tell us about the implications for society and for public policy of that topic.
First, it has important implications for the mothers or the women who experience those pregnancies. Women who experience unintended pregnancies relative to women who experience intended pregnancies have, on average, lower levels of educational attainment, lower levels of labor force participation. Secondly, the children whose births were unintended tend to have lower levels of educational attainment, poorer health outcomes than children whose births were intended. Thirdly, from a societal perspective, this really matters. Above and beyond the private costs potentially incurred by mothers and children, we spend between $11 and $12 billion every year just on medical care costs related to unintended pregnancy. Unintended pregnancy, studies show, is associated with increased rates of welfare receipt, therefore more taxes spent on welfare, increased rates of crime, therefore more taxes spent on dealing with crime. Now, everything that I've just told you is, the way that I've stated it, correlational. But there have been a lot of studies that have tried to parse out the extent to which these relationships are actually causal as opposed to merely correlational. And those studies do show that these relationships are, in fact, at least partly causal. So to sum up, I think the research community has produced a fair bit of evidence that unintended pregnancy has important consequences for mothers, children, and society at large.
Before we get into the findings, tell us about the gap in the literature that you're trying to fill with this research. In other words, what are the unanswered questions that you're focused on?
Well, there are really two gaps I think I was trying to address. First of all, this is an area in which there is reasonably well-developed program evaluation literature using research techniques that researchers tend to think produce reasonably reliable estimates, credible estimates of policy's effects, like randomized controlled trials or other not quite as effective but still pretty good techniques. But it's hard to make apples to apples comparisons between different types of policies. The papers don't necessarily directly lend themselves to that. Secondly, most of these policies evaluations don't do a benefit cost, or what some people might call a fiscal impact analysis, in which you say, let's look at this just from the perspective of the government. Let's compare how much money taxpayers spend on these policies and how much money these policies save from a taxpayer perspective. The way that we did this was we built a simulation model. We call it FamilyScape. It's a simulation model of family formation, and we went to the program evaluation literature and took the most credible estimates we could find of the effects of three different policies, plugged them into our simulation model, and used that model to try to estimate the effects, including the benefit-cost ratios, for each of these policies.
Okay, Adam, so give us an overview of the three strategies to reduce unintended pregnancies that you examine.
The first is a mass media campaign designed to encourage condom use among men. The second is an evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention program that's geared towards at-risk teens in particular. And the third is an expansion in Medicaid-subsidized family planning services. About half of states have expanded their family planning services paid for by Medicaid over the last 15 years or so. And about half of states are now eligible through the new health care reform law to implement similar expansions. So that third simulation looked at the potential implications of these remaining states expanding their programs in the same way that previous states already have.
And what were the findings from your fiscal impact simulations?
All three policies would reduce the number of abortions, reduce the number of teen pregnancies. They would reduce the number of out-of-wedlock births. They would reduce the number of unintended pregnancies. They would reduce the number of children born into poverty. And they would save taxpayers money. Now, to be a little bit more specific about this, depending on which policy that you're talking about, they have benefit cost ratios of between $2 and $6. So, for example, the Medicaid expansion has a benefit cost ratio that's between $5 and $6. What that means is that, according to the estimates from the simulation, for every dollar that we spend on Medicaid family planning subsidies, additional dollar, we would reduce taxpayer spending overall by $5.50, $5.60. The equivalent ratios for the mass media campaign and the teen pregnancy prevention program are about $2.50 for the teen pregnancy program and about $4 for the mass media campaign. So all three of these would save taxpayers money. They would reduce the number of children born into poverty. So all of them, I think, would have beneficial effects.
So we know that it's rare to find policies that can do good and save taxpayer dollars. Adam, how would you describe the implications of your findings?
It certainly has implications for federal policymakers. The implication of the research is that federal policymakers would be well advised to invest at least as many dollars, if not more, relative to what they're currently investing, in evidence-based pregnancy prevention programs, such as the ones that I've simulated. At the state level, the implications of the policies are that state policymakers that have not yet expanded their family planning services ought to do so. There are also some state governments that have thus far opted not to take advantage of federal money available to them to implement evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs. This is free money to the states. They just haven't taken it for whatever reason, often I think political reasons. But from an evidentiary perspective, there's a very strong case to be made that these would be wise investments. These kinds of programs could also be implemented at the local level, so these results could be useful for local policymakers or even non-governmental practitioners. A lot of these pregnancy prevention programs and mass media campaigns are funded by non-public sources. So I'm hoping that these results will be useful to a wide range of audiences.
Great. I will post a link on the blog to the Brookings issue brief by Adam. It's entitled Policy Solutions for Preventing Unplanned Pregnancy. Adam Thomas of the Georgetown Public Policy Institute, thank you for sharing with us your insights about evidence-based strategies around this important social policy issue.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.